Embracing our Emmanuel. My idea of this message is that we make that which is written in the book, what we call the Bible, make that personal and apply it to our lives, to our hearts, first of all. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, we read, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which simply means God with us. God with us. Who would say, well, shouldn't it be the other way around? Us with God? It was impossible. God had to make the first move. He needed to come into this dark world to save us because we had nothing in and of ourselves that we could be saved, that we could come to God on our own. But this fills our hearts with joy. How could it be that He who made the world and the universe, and there are countless galaxies that have still not been discovered, and the more they discover, the more the scientists wonder, who did all this? And they can't agree on that, but how can that all happen out of nothing? There is a God. He who holds the world and the heavens in His hands, He who establishes kingdoms and destroys armies, He is the one that said, God with us, with you and with me. God offers us the best. He couldn't give more. He couldn't give us a better gift than His only begotten Son through whom He has created everything. There's nothing, the Bible says, there's nothing that is created that's not created through Him. Read John chapter 1. Read Hebrews. Read Colossians. Repeatedly it says, He is the Alpha and the Omega in the last book of the Bible. He created everything, everything through Christ. When God decided to create the world, He did so because of the promise through His Son, Jesus Christ, who would be in the middle of history of this world, who would establish the connection between us and the Father. That is the best God could give. Do you think He could give anything better than that? I don't think so. God with us. I'm reminded of the song, "Can You See What I See?" or "Can You Hear What I Hear?" You remember that song? Yeah. Can you see what I see? Can you hear what I hear? Can we see from God's perspective what He sees? The beauty of our relationship with Him, God with us, Emmanuel, that connects us. Can we see and hear what God sees and hears? No, we can't. He is the Almighty God. But yet we can have a taste. Jesus made a connection. He made a contact. Not as an alien, but He became one of us. And God Himself walked this earth. It was God the Father that was in Christ, and Jesus said it repeatedly, He and the Father are one. He said, whoever sees me sees the Father. And so it was God the Father who walked on earth. It was God the Father who also hung on the cross. When Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was God who suffered for us and with us. This means, God with us means deliverance from Satan and sin. Satan has always been a bully for everybody, and he is always the one that wants to distract people, that wants to distract us, that wants to diminish our faith, that wants to bully us and make us feel that we're nothing. This was the case in the Old Testament, the time of Isaiah, when little Judah was bullied by Israel and Samaria. The enemies noticed that God favored Judah because out of Judah was supposed to come the Messiah. And so little Judah was bullied. Satan goes around today like a roaring lion, and he looks whom he may devour, the Bible tells us. He is there to make us scared. He is there to put fear in us, to make us feel guilty. You know that Satan is really good at making us Christians feel guilty about everything? He wants us to feel guilty about everything, even if it's not sin. And the Bible tells us that Satan, as a bully, he seeks to steal and to kill and to destroy, to rob us of the peace that God has for us, of the purity, of health, of security, of good relationships. He wants to rob us of our love to God and others. And that's why Jesus warned, he said, the love in the last times will grow cold. Why? Because Satan, the bully, will be busy like never before. And sometimes he will poke his bony finger at you and me and say, oh, yeah, you, look at who you are. Look at all your failures. You think God is going to answer your prayers? You think God is going to care about you? And I talked to someone this week again, and he said, I don't believe God cares a bit about me. He has lost faith. He has lost trust. He has had so much pain in his life that he can't see the blessings of God for the pain that overwhelms him every single day. That's Satan's work. But God with us, Emmanuel, means that we don't have to be bullied any longer by Satan. He is the ultimate defeated enemy. When Jesus Christ finished his work on the cross, when he says, it is finished, that was our victory, was sealed in Christ. And that through Christ, you and I can have the power to live lives to God's glory, to live lives of joy and of peace and of love instead of agony and fear and anxiety. In Luke chapter 1, verse 74, it was a prayer that was said there, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him, that means God, without fear. God with us, Emmanuel, means that now you and I can serve the Lord without fear. How many times do others, or does the world, or does Satan put fear in our hearts? We're afraid of things. We're afraid of failing. We're afraid of this. We're afraid of that. We're afraid of what other people might say or think. Sometimes And I want to be very realistic. Sometimes you may think, oh, other people, they think really bad of me. Oh, they think this of me. They think that of me. You know what I found out? Other people seldom think about you. They think about themselves. And unless we pray for one another, we may not even think about each other because we are so consumed with our own problems, with our own weaknesses, with our own challenges. But that's where God wants to come in. Exactly when we're stressed out, when we're full of fear in this world, God wants to come in and say, I am still Emmanuel. You can still come to me because God with us. I am your connection. I am the answer to your problem. It means that God can take care of our many problems, and with God, nothing is impossible. It's easier said than done. That's true. In Isaiah 7, verse 12, we read, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. That was were the words of Ahaz, the king in Isaiah's time. He did not believe that God would help him. He did not ask God for help. And I think that's the worst thing you can do in your unbelief if you don't ask God for help. Because Jesus is our Emmanuel, he has established this connection that we can come to him. You say, well, you know, I offended God and I feel that he is so offended now and he's ticked at me and he's ignoring me and I don't even dare to pray. I don't even dare to come to the Lord with my needs and with my problems. That's wrong. Jesus is not threatened. Jesus is not, you know, when we present our problems to him, he's not going in heaven and saying, man, you know, this guy, he really has so many problems. I don't even know what to do. You think he does that? He wants us to reach out in faith and prayer and trust him. Emmanuel, God with us. And you can pray this Christmas season. Emmanuel, be with me today. I remember Sister Bokrand. Many of you remember her. She died not long ago. And she used to pray so sweetly. God, bless my soul. Bless my soul. God with us. He wants to bless your soul and my soul. Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Sure, there will be winds of adversity. There will always be Satan there. As long as we live, he will try to bully us. But you see, once you know the enemy, and once you know how to recognize the enemy, when he gives you a discouraging thought, when he gives you a thought of doubt, you can easily, well, maybe not easily, but simply resist him and say, no, the Bible says this, and I will cling to God's word and God's promise, even if the circumstances and everything wants to tell me otherwise, but the Bible is true. That is what connects us with God. You know, you say, well, you don't know my situation, and my time with the family during Christmas time is very stressful. Maybe we should pray about it. If the time with family during Christmas time is very stressful, we should pray ahead of time. Maybe a day of fasting and praying and saying, Lord, you are Emmanuel, and I pray that my time with family will be peaceful. My time with family will be difficult people, difficult relatives are sometimes the most trying. As long as we don't become difficult. Because God wants to show himself in our lives, in our hearts. God with us means eternal life. Jesus came for one purpose and one purpose only, to give you and me life that lasts forever, which we call eternal life. In John 10, I quoted part of this verse already, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, to destroy. I have come, says Jesus, our Emmanuel, he has come that they, you and I, may have life and have it to the full, more abundantly. That's his will. And then if you go down in John chapter 10 to verses 27 and to 30, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. And this is the key, that we as Jesus' followers, we listen to his voice. And I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And the Father and I are one. This is what we need to base our faith on every single day. God with us means that nothing and no one, only I can make the decision to turn my back on God, but nothing else, nobody else can make that decision. No enemy, no forces. It doesn't matter if others condemn us. It doesn't matter if Satan condemns us and tries to make us feel guilty. And he is the accuser of the brethren. We know that he is the accuser. It doesn't matter. No one can snatch my relationship out of Christ's hands. We need to believe that. We need to live that. One day, Peter and the disciples were challenged by the Lord in their knowledge and understanding of his purpose. So Jesus gave them a choice. You know, they were disciples that were kind of loosely following Jesus. You know, those, I call them the ifers. Ifers are, well, I'll follow Jesus if everything goes smoothly. Those are the if followers. Those that have conditions for their following of Christ. You see, when you follow Christ unconditionally, you're not an if follower. You are a follower that says, I will obey no matter what. So Jesus gave the disciples this choice. Many had turned their backs on Jesus. They left him. And Jesus let them go. Those were about 70 men that left Jesus. You know, I would have been so heartbroken, I probably would have given up my ministry right there and then. You know, just being left with 12 people, out of 82, 12 people all of a sudden. And then Jesus gives the disciples, he said, do you want to leave too? I mean, you see, this is so beautiful because Jesus is not a cult leader. A cult leader doesn't let people leave. Oh, no. Jesus wasn't selfish. He gives us the freedom to leave if you want to. But then Peter answers, says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You are the one and only. You are the Messiah. You are the Emmanuel. You are the God with us. Why should we leave you? And that should always be our resolve. Lord, you have eternal life. Your words keep us in hope of eternal life. That keeps us encouraged. God with us, eternal life, and words of real hope for the future. And this causes us to sometimes hold on loosely to the things of this world. Those things that used to bother us should no longer bother us. Those things that used to worry us, we should put those worries aside and go for the full effect of God with us. And that means that eternal life gives us comfort through the Good Shepherd. Listen to Psalm 23, and this is so simple and has been read so many times, and maybe many of you know this psalm by memory. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. This is so personal. You hear this? This is so personal. This is God with us. The Lord, my shepherd, he says. And he makes me to lie down in green pastures. So personal. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. You are my Emmanuel. I live this every day, the psalmist says. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. In other words, there's more joy than I can actually take. Surely goodness and mercy and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, this forever, it's not a temporary thing. It's not a fling that disappears quickly. It's a forever thing because God is our Emmanuel. It's not a quick fix. It's not like taking a painkiller. You take a painkiller and the pain is numbed. And sometimes we have to take painkillers physically when we feel we're in pain. And it's also not like taking vitamins. Some people believe in vitamins, others not. It all depends. Hoping that some good will come out of it, that it will help our health. This is forever. And here's the third point. God personally invites you and me into our relationship with Him through Christ. For many people, God remains a very distant, uneasy mystery. God remains so distant, so impersonal. It's like you talk to a higher being, but it's not personal. God invites us to make it personal. Jesus reminded his listeners. They said, the kingdom of God does not come in outward manifestations. This is something people don't like and don't really grasp because they want to see drama. They want to see signs. They want to see big things. And Jesus said, not in outward manifestations, because the kingdom of God is within you. And this kingdom of God is our personal relationship through our Emmanuel, God with us. Romans 16, verse 25, we read, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept for long ages past, but now is manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the eternal God, has been made known to all nations, leading to obedience of faith. This was the gospel of Jesus Christ that was preached and that is preached today. God with us, a personal relationship through the obedience of faith. And it means that we see also God in others that are God's people. The virgin birth, of course, it was a miracle. This is why we call it the incarnation of God. God becoming flesh, dwelling among us, human interaction. That mattered. Jesus walked on earth. God walked on earth. And therefore, he can understand us. And he knows what we're going through. I want to close with a passage from Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious." That's what Paul discovered. Very religious. "For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you." I want to stop here. Many people are very religious, and they're ignorant of who they actually worship. They have a very vague view of God. Nothing personal. Verse 24, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times and history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us." That's what Paul preached. "For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has himself proof of this to every one by raising him from the dead." And that was Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Emmanuel, has come. And one day he will come back. And in that day, it will only matter whether you and I knew him personally or not. And my prayer is that Jesus dwells in all of our hearts through faith, that you have accepted him today as your Emmanuel, that you trust him today as your Emmanuel, God with me, God in all my life's circumstances, to count on God in everything. May God bless us and help us. Amen.